Blog Talk Radio.
Stepping into Tomorrow. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark. You are at the right place at the right time. Thank you for taking the time out to experience another edition of Productive News Weekly. That's right, Productive News Weekly. Yes, you're at the right place. Productive News. For those of you who haven't listened recently, in the last month or so, we are Productive News. Progressive has become so regressive that we're not using that. And so we're moving on in a productive way. We're evolving, not regressing. Here at Productive News Weekly, what we're about has not changed. We bring you news and information culled from around the globe, most typically within these United States of America. However, we do take pride and pleasure in crossing the borders legally from time to time. So a shout out to our friends down in the Caribbean and over in Europe and up our neighbors in and our neighbors in Canada as well. And of course, all of the many of you from coast to coast here in the U.S. of A. It's news you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you, as our Constitution alludes to, as our nation is supposed to be about. And I don't use that term loosely. Is supposed to be about. And when I say for you, by you, it's because of you that we are here. And so with that, I encourage you to continue to reach out and let me know what's on your mind. If there's some topic and or guest that you believe is not getting the attention deserved because mainstream is just not giving it up, well, let me know. I'll vet it. I can guarantee you that. I'm going to look and do some checking to see if there's any grounding into the individual and or topic. And if that be the case, we're going to bring it here. We're going to bring it live, and we're going to ask the tough questions. So let them know that's what that's going to be about. No partisanism here. We're not skewed by business or political interests. This isn't party preference radio, as you have so much in the mainstream. I just bring it straight. No chaser. So if you have a political affiliation, you may find yourself getting, offended, whether you're left, they call it, or right, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever it is. I just believe in doing my absolute best to speak truth. So this week we have another Black History Month special. Of course, every month on Productive News Weekly is Black History Month, as my roots are as such. So anything that I'm bringing is gonna be somewhat about that. Although I'm so pleasingly proud to have constituents and listeners from all walks of life, and that being left, right, middle, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, white, black. We've had them all tune in, and many regularly. So a shout out to everyone. We certainly appreciate you tuning in, and we believe and hope continually become enlightened. We only ask that you share. If you'd like to get on our mail list, send me an email to productivenews@msn.com. Or just send me an email to Daryl, Daryl, underscore CLA18 at msn.com. If you missed last week's program, you'll want to go to the archives, folks. And you'll do that by going to Blog Talk Radio, no spaces, blogtalkradio.com/, that's the symbol underneath the question mark on your keyboard for those of you who are, well, not computer savvy, because there is a backward slash on your keyboard as well, not to confuse you. And so that's blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And so many say, well, why? What's Renford? Well, Renford is the network that I air on, Radio by Renford. And when you go there, you'll see all my programs going back for years and years. And if you ever heard a program in the last five or six, or for my long-term listeners, 10 years, you can find it. You may have to spend some time going back, but everything's listed by date, by guest, and by topic. And last week was special. We had Mr. Adrian Consul, a publisher, founder of Positive Community, just discussing upliftment, moving forward of the Black community, and the distractions within that we need to avoid, and not getting caught up in the fray of those things around us that don't serve us. We must have our own agenda, something that I've not seen happen in my lifetime. So, no exception with the current environment. And that was very enlightening. And then we closed out last week's program with a whole segment on holistic and natural health, which is, most of you know, my forte and love. And so it was a great program, I like to say, and had some great feedback from that. This evening, moving forward in the thread of Black History programming specifically, we have a very special guest who will be joining us shortly. And we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship, right? Is that not a good topic or what? Who doesn't want to make more money, more money, more money? So we're going to be talking about that and the importance of that entrepreneurship, especially in the African-American community. We do need to focus more on having our own. So we're going to have that discussion. And that ties in with also, as we were discussing last week, setting our own agendas. So, with that said, we're going to reach out to our guest and see if we can bring him online with us. And hopefully we'll get started with this evening's program. Oh, I see we have him live right now. So, all right. I think we got connected. Thank you, Cecil. Yes, this evening we're going to have Mr. John Holloway. He's an entrepreneur. He's a computer expert and specialist. He's a proprietor of his own business, HSS Computing, for over 23 years. So I'd say he knows a little bit about establishing and maintaining a business. And then we're going to have a bonus because with his specialty being in basically computing and technology, we'll take your questions. We'll have a discussion about computing, where it's at today, where it's going, and the importance of having at least a minimum amount of knowledge in the area of computing. And computing may sound for some of you or a few of you complicated or involved. But it today, in today's environment, it really isn't. Everything is pretty much laid out for you. It's a matter of knowing how to turn it on and read. And so we're going to be having that discussion. And what's new? Well, in terms of productive news, I look back on the landscape as I like to open up. And I say, well, what's going on? Well, what's going on, as Marvin would say, talk about Marvin Gaye. Well, in the business world, you know, we won't get into much. And we will be talking in the not-too-distant future more about business, and I'll be bringing on some who have been embedded acumen in the area of business. We'll have some economists coming on and financiers coming on to discuss what's happening financially in our environment and how we might be able to navigate that more productively for ourselves. The stock market seems to be doing okay, but I don't put a lot of emphasis on the stock market because it doesn't serve everyone and it doesn't always prove to be an indicator of how things are going in our society, especially in certain communities such as the African American community. So I think when I consider business, you know, I look at the landscape directly. You know, how is your community doing? Are businesses thriving and opening, or are they on the recede, receding? So I think it's important that we look at what's happening around us and be ever aware of why it might be happening. So African American History Month, I think about African American businesses, and it's so important that we support our businesses, especially African American businesses. And so whether you are African American or not, I just encourage you to support African American businesses. African Americans statistically are one of the most disenfranchised populaces in the country. Don't be fooled by, well, what we see on television, the NAACP awards and BET awards and all the like, and you see the 5,000 or even 10,000 people in a large arena, and you say 10,000 people. Well, compared to 12 million, that might be about it. Drop a bomb on that, and you might knock out about 80% of our fluent African Americans. And then half of those are folks that really, from my empirical insight, empirical meaning actually studied, they aren't really serving anyone but themselves, i.e. entertainers. Now, some are doing a good thing and doing right things and giving back and participating in the community. But far too, TOO, many are not. And so I would suggest that that's not something that we want to exclusively subscribe to, and we have to have a true, again, black agenda. Education, what's going on with that? Well, with the COVID situation, oh my gosh, there's such a debate. Do we send our children to school? Do we not want to send our children to school? That's another program in and of itself, and I don't want to spend too much time because we have our guests waiting to have a discussion this evening. I just suffice it to say to put some real thought into it. What do the statistics say? Well, the statistics say, and do your homework. I'm just telling you what I have found out. If you find something different, we always have open air. We keep it live. I'd like to hear so you can share with everyone else. But what I'm hearing is truly children are less affected. Now, there's another side to that is what if one does, for whatever reason, find themselves carrying the virus from home or somewhere else, And then they bring it into the classroom. Are the children wearing masks? Well, children typically, depending on the age, especially the younger children, are not going to really abide by that, wearing masks all day. That's a cultural change. It's going to take some time. So it's something to think about. Then you have the teachers that are saying, we're not going back. So we'll have some discussion about that in the future. My thought is we need to get our children back engaged, especially in the African-American community, where statistically we're finding that there's a greater dropout rate occurring. This pandemic, folks, the China virus, from my perspective, this is a talk show in many respects, really did a number in so many ways, and especially in the African-American community. And so we're going to have to really, really pay attention to what's going on and how we're affected, the African-American community, with this situation. And we're going to be talking more and more about this in the weeks ahead. In fact, we're going to be doing a whole piece on the virus and how it disproportionately is affecting the African-American community, and the whole vaccination piece as well. And what's up with that? Is there something we really need to know about that, especially in the African-American community? I would just say we need to beware. And there's so much to be said. I mean, there's a lot that are considered conspiracy theories, but we have to make sure that we discern the difference between a conspiracy theory and truly a conspiracy. My perspective is there's been plenty of conspiracies. You know, well, my next area, politics, plenty. I would hope now that those listeners who were on the fence or even far anti-Republican, right? Because I'm not pro-Republican and I'm not pro-Democrat. Don't see now. If you don't see now that there's truly been a media conspiracy, send me an email. I'll point you to directions. And I've had some listeners say, well, give us some specifics. Give us some detail how we can find out. Okay, let me tell you, do this, folks. Turn off CNN. If you do that, you'll be enlightened quite a bit. If that's all you're watching, you're not going to be enlightened. Now, there's some good things there, I would say, that you can discern. But if that's all you're watching, you can't believe everything that's on there, and you can't believe everything that's on the right wing. I have to consider right and left, because I try not to think in those terms, right wing, which would be your Fox News, your One America News, your there's another one, Newsmax. But be careful, because see, what you have now is you have CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and those are the larger players. I had someone say, "Daryl, I stopped watching. I don't watch CNN all the time. I just pretty much stay with NBC." And I said, "Oh, you're out of the frying pan into the fire." No, if you really want balance, and you need the balance, folks. There was a time I would not even remotely turn on a Fox News, and I was caught up in that mess. And it's like a film came off my eyes. I said, "Well, let me just see what's over there." And I began to compare apples to apples, because you're not going to get apples to apples. If you watch Fox, they're going to tell you everything from a right-wing perspective. If you watch CNN or MSNBC or now CBS, ABC, and NBC, it's unfortunate. Our mainstream media is it's gone, folks. It's a new day. Then you're going to get skewed a different way. So you need to have the balance. And what you're looking for is investigative reporting. So I find One America News, although it is right-wing, at least does investigative and gives you reference points that you can go to, which are independent sources. And that's what I like. And I haven't found that yet. I would love to get that from an NBC or ABC or CNN, I don't see much investigative reporting like we used to have with Walter Cronkite. So I have seen some of that. And if you have to, you know, catch certain programs, Wolf Blitz does some investigative on CNN. But One America clearly, on weekends especially, does investigative, and they do investigative deep dive reporting. So I try to watch a little bit of both sides to get a full picture so that I'm not being biased. But what I'm seeing here is just wrong. John Sullivan, right? That's the latest thing in the news. Look him up. Somebody says, oh, give us a name, John Sullivan. Antifa acknowledged on film, right? Inciting, verbally inciting a riot. And the man has not been censored on Twitter. Now he's being investigated. And it came out today, confirmed, that CNN and NBC paid him $70,000 to do what he did. That came out today. Fact. You can fact check it. So if you're not doing the work, and if you want to close your ears because it's not what you want to hear, because that's not the side that you chose, I mean, you know, then you're not serving yourself, you're not serving your loved ones, you're not serving your community, you're not serving your race, you're not serving your culture, you're not serving society. So do your work. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to choose for you. Now, health. Health. Oh, my gosh. What's going on in the health arena? Well, we know the biggest thing that we're talking about is this COVID. And as I said, we're going to be talking about vaccines in the next weeks ahead. There's so much out there. I received a video today, and these are PhDs, medical doctors that are talking some deep dive information on what's happening with the vaccines and what the real story is with the vaccines. And well worth looking into, folks. So if you'd like to get a copy of that, I would be more than happy to email it to you. Drop me an email to Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, underscore CLA18 at MSN.com. I'll send you the video. It's not something that's censored. It's on a personal video. I can send that to you, and it's only about 30 minutes long, but it gives you another perspective of what's going on with these viruses. So we must be educated. And other than that, when we talk about health, and I'm trying to be quick, always consider your natural approaches wherever you can. That's your low fruit. Let it be complementary, especially if you're under a doctor's care, because I'm never going to disparage a doctor's protocols. That's your choice. So whatever you do, holistically, let it be complementary to your doctor. Now, with all of that said, something that is a little disturbing, back to the political piece, was, and I'd like to get your input, drop me some emails. The whole piece of the 52 executive orders, more than all the last five presidents combined, I went and found a video by our president, and he made a statement when he was running for office criticizing the few executive orders that were done by the last president, saying that if you run a government by executive order, it's a form of tyranny and dictatorship. Don't believe me, Google it. Google executive order statement made by Biden in during campaign. Do your homework. And he accused Trump of running, and Trump put a few things in by executive order, four or five in his first week, as opposed to 20. And yet he turns around and he's put, we're well above 50 executive orders, including shutting down the pipeline without anything else to replace it, thus eliminating, I don't know, I think the number is more than 10,000 jobs. To shut that down immediately, I thought was somewhat egregious. And then the fracking piece, remember, I will not stop fracking. But yet, that's one of his statements that he's now going to do. So, the seesaw. And the last thing that bothered me, and this is one of many, I'm just really, really concerned. These are untruths. And you know I'm being very nice the way I said that. He did a town hall yesterday. What was it, the day before yesterday? We all know it was in Wisconsin. I think he should have been in Texas, where I got family without power, along with 3 million other people. He was doing a town hall. He should have upended that and went. He did a George Bush. I remember George Bush did some stuff like that when we had Katrina. Remember that, folks? And he flew over and he was looking out. I'm seeing signs I do not like. This isn't me being pro-right or pro-left or just against this guy. I'm just reading the writing on the wall. And it doesn't look good. And what he said was, regarding the vaccines, I'm doing the best I can. First of all, when I came in office, there was no vaccines. Fact check that, folks. And the fact is, there were over 1 million vaccines distributed when he came to be in office January 20th. Over 1 million that had been distributed. But when he did his CNN interview at the town hall, he said, I just came in here and there was no plan. So if that's all you're watching, folks, just double that down times 10 or 20. And it's dangerous stuff. And then you got John Sullivan that's not being censored. And if you saw the video, which you should have, I mean, he was right there when the woman got shot, inciting the violence. Then he went downstairs, changed, took off his MAGA hat, because remember he changed, he said, I got to put on my MAGA hat. And he's doing an interview and he says, yeah, I got to really make sure I incite this name. And yet, he's not censored for being one to incite a riot. So these are just basic things, folks. So with that said, I wanted to just loop back around or circle around, as press secretary says so often. And I know I've offended maybe some folks, not intentionally, but some folks can't handle the truth. And that's all I'm about. I'm not trying to disparage or put down. Listen, my prayer is that this president does something that's truly going to be good for every American. But when you open the gates to 11 million people of your community, somebody says, hey, look, I'm going to open up the gates to your street, wherever you live, to 1,000 people to come and just, however they're going to be able to come into your community. And these people that are coming in have not been tested. You have a strain on your community economically already because of limited resources. And then you realize that the person is doing it not for your welfare and not even necessarily for theirs, but for votes. 11 million people? Really? Not being tested. Proof. Fact check it. A number of these folks are children that are being brought in, not necessarily of their will, but being used by cartels. So you're just opening up the gates. It's like opening the gates of hell. And then our vice president gets on one of the largest Spanish-speaking radio stations and promotes that that's what she's doing. And immediately 7,000 more come in a caravan within days. These are facts. I'm just saying, think about these things. And we're in a dire situation. We just have to be aware of what's going on. And that's all I'm saying. Now, let's have some dialogue about this. Not tonight. I want us to just have some open discourse, uncommon discourse, because I'd just like to understand what our common sense folks thinking about this. And I'm so proud, plumb pleasingly proud, to know that my listening audience is a common sense audience. And I just want to get some insight on that. So what we're going to be doing next week when we come back, and we're going to do our spoken word forum, as we promised at the beginning of the month. And we have another special guest, a historian, next week. So tune in on our last week of Black History Month and share this, especially for children. We're going to open the lines up and do a special two-hour program. So now, let's talk about starting black businesses and getting our communities, our African-American communities especially, more engaged with where our society is heading. And to talk about that, we have Mr. John Holloway. Mr. John Holloway.
Hello.
Is an entrepreneur. He's a computer expert and specialist. And he's going to be discussing the importance of establishing black businesses. 23 years in business himself. His business, computer business, specializes in repair, setup, installation, sales, and even does lessons in computing. So, with us this evening, Mr. John Holloway. John, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. I'm sorry for my long monologue, but my passion, and I've extended the hours, so we have I've extended the time, so we still have our 20 minutes or so this evening. So I apologize, and I appreciate you staying with us throughout that. But my passion is just what's happening out here in our society. How are you? How's the family? Everybody's good?
Everybody's good. Thank you for having me again.
Yeah.
Yes, everybody's good. We're healthy. Staying safe and keeping busy.
Well, that's a good thing, especially the staying safe and keeping busy behind that piece. And keeping busy, I wanted to have a little bit of a discussion this evening about the importance of business. And I mentioned four areas this evening that is so, relevant to all of us. And, I guess you heard the areas. They were business, education, politics, and health. So I said, I'm so glad that you're healthy. And in some sense, those can't be separated from business. I mean, if you're not healthy, you can't have a business. You can't do anything. Of course, there's a political piece that people need to understand that are involved with any business. I mean, if you're not just talking about anything except to making sure that your books are in order and things like that, that's part of politics because those are the rules of law. And then, of course, the education piece. You don't have to have a PhD to start a business. I dare say not. I mean, there are those who may not have anything beyond a year or so of advanced post-high school education that are very, very successful. But you do need to have a certain level of education, I guess you would agree with. And then, of course, there's the business piece in and of itself, running your business. So let's start at sort of square one. How was it that you made a determination versus working for someone? Maybe you did, like so many of us. I still work with an organization and for an organization, yet I maintain my own business as well. But when did you make the determination and why that you wanted to go it on your own, so to speak?
Well, it started back in around the end of the 90s when I was getting into electronics and went to computers and found that there was a need for people to be educated in computers. As I was working on that plan, I had to do something to fund the idea and the plan. So then when I got into repairs, I started to do the repairs on that, doing repairs on my own, as well as working for somebody, and got more involved in it until I got to the point where I was having more clients and able to do part-time my business and part-time with somebody else. But I do find that with business, you need to have a need for something that is out there and available, and you also have to find a way to get that across. So I'm actually going back to the reason why I started the business was the lessons, and by doing that, the business is picking up because as you're teaching people the basic computers, they also have a need to either purchase a computer or get their computer fixed. So it kind of works hand in hand.
So you say the first thing you need to do is have a market, basically. you need to make sure there's a need for whatever it is. And I suspect what you're saying also is that you had an interest when you said, you know, I found myself interested in this area. So you got to have both. You know, you may find yourself, you know, I'm interested in swimming, but if you're in Alaska, that may not be the business to go into, swimming gear. You know, so it's got to be something that you love and are interested in, but it also has to be a market as well. You don't want to necessarily, I would guess, just the opposite. If there's a market for something, maybe not as important as the reverse, but maybe you don't want to go into something that you really don't have a passion for, even though there's a market. And I'm saying that because would you say that there's a significant commitment that has to be in place in order to have a business? I mean, I'm saying that just based on my experience. I find that when you have a business, it's never closed, technically. I mean, you may have hours that you don't accept clients' calls or those kinds of things, but in terms of the work that you're doing behind the scene, it seems with me it never stops. I'm always thinking, you know, how can I advance? How can I get more knowledge in some area? If I'm working with a specific client that has an issue, I'm you know, at night, if I haven't come up with a protocol or some approach, I'm thinking, who can I call that might have more information? So it never turns off. And if you don't have a passion for it, you're not going to be able to necessarily do that. Do you find that in your line of business?
Oh, yes, you do have to have a passion for it. And it never turn off. It's when you think it's turning off, then you got another idea that just pops into your head that can add to the business, and there becomes another plan. I was just driving around. I was driving somewhere or from somewhere a couple of days ago, and I just realized, you know what, there's a need for people to, or should I say the senior citizens need something within their budget and somebody to assist them in just getting up to speed with, or not even up to speed, but helping them with being able to prepare the shop online, because they don't want to go out. They're afraid to go out, and they want to at least make sure that they're going out and being safe as much as possible. But there's certain things that they don't know about going and say shopping online or paying for bills online. Some people still go to the post office, and they don't want to go to the post office, but that's the way that they know how to put their mail out, is by going to the post office. And that's how they pay their bills. So helping them with that, they would need somebody. And unfortunately, it's usually not a relative, because relatives sometimes feel like they've had enough, where they don't have the time, or they're trying to find the time, they're trying to work it in to when they can do it. And a lot of times you want to be able to do it on your own. But since you don't know how, you kind of stray away from the idea. So, yeah, having that passion is, I think, is a key thing in having a, or starting a business, running a business, and keeping the business going.
You heard my opening monologue, and it is what it is. Folks who have listened to me for these 10 years know my passion is in serving the community without fear, without shame, without guilt, and with as much truth as I can bring to the table, aligning myself without reason with no one. And I don't draw that line anywhere. And so you can imagine with that, there are a number who would say, well, come on, man, Darryl, I mean, we're on this side, right or wrong. And where I am in my life right now is I don't subscribe to that. And it's, you know, it's caused division with me and friends I've known for years, decades, even family members. I won't sacrifice my soul and my integrity because of an affiliation with a race, a political party, a religion, or anything else, a family. I've just made that decision. That's where I am. And so in that monologue, I'm sure it came through, as I've been told many times, Darryl, your passion comes through. I'm critical. I'm critical of my my society that I'm blessed and appreciative to be able to live in, and I take my responsibility as part of that society very seriously. And so I'm saying all of that to say, with yourself, as a African-American, not to disparage any other race or religion or creed or anything of that nature or culture, how do you feel in this landscape about establishing a business as an African-American? Is it something that maybe a person should enter with fear or consternation? Or is it something that you feel might be important to consider? If so, why? What's your thought about the whole idea of folks young and old considering establishing their own business? In other words, what are the pros in this, in consideration of our environment and our society and what's happening today?
Yeah, that's it's kind of tough to answer. It's
I ask tough questions, John.
you have to realize, I mean, being African-American, you have to realize that you're African-American. There's going to be some stumbling blocks or roadblocks or stepping stones to come across. But you don't let that affect who you are and what you have to offer. And you just keep going out there. There's people that don't like anybody. And they don't like to see anybody get ahead or progress, you know, progress. And that's the way you have to look at it. Okay, this is another person that doesn't like anybody. If they want your service, whether they like you or not, they're going to come for you to for your service, because you're going to give them good service. And so, I mean, I do take that in as, yes, I'm African American, and I know there's people that may look at me. Well, for two reasons. When I speak on the phone, I had somebody tell me I sound, and I don't get that. I sound white. Like, okay, but I'm not, haven't been ever, and I'm not sure what that means. But when I go to somebody's house, and if they're thinking that I'm white, and they see that I'm black or African American, and sometimes you get a surprise look, like, oh, I didn't expect you. But it's not, I don't find that offensive. I just wave it off as because maybe they didn't expect. I don't know what they expected. And so and that's something that is to be considered. But then when you deliver a good product, people don't consider you, well, I feel people don't consider you one way or the other. They just consider you somebody who gave them a good service or good product. And that's what you have to focus on, is the service that you give or the product that you give, and doing the best that you can to your ability to do it. I mean, my biggest difficulty for business was raising the money for the business and to keep the business going. And the biggest thing people were telling me is, oh, you have to have money to just start a business. You have to have money to start a business. Yes and no. You do need money to start a business, but you don't necessarily need a lot of money. You start small and you work your way up to where you can have money to put more into the business to get the business to grow. And that's what I've been doing. And a lot of attention to my spiritual beliefs. That's what helps me continue to move on and grow.
So I understand from what I'm hearing, you are saying, there are hurdles, because there are those folks that, aren't expecting a black to interface with them, though that's not something that you're running into all the time, I'm hearing. But and then occasionally you will get that look. But at the end of the day, you're finding, for the most part, that people appreciate the service.
Yes.
More so than reject your race. And that's encouraging. You're saying that you do need to have money, and that's something that's a hurdle. But don't let that be a deterrent, because you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to start out with this huge brick and mortar and a large outlay. You can start small, and I would guess, especially today with the advent of computing, I've heard stories of someone having an online business, and if it's set up properly, it could appear as though it's 10 times the size that it is, just by the way that you put a face on it, with a website or your advertisements, and the way that you deliver your product professionally. So don't be deterred by the obstacle of starting a business needing a certain amount of money. Now, I'm sure that there are basics that you have to have in terms of legitimately starting a business, such as establishing, incorporating, getting a tax ID, and all of those things.
Yes.
Did you find that difficult?
No, that is where you can start nice and small, where you can have, like currently I have HSS computer. I started out with Holloway Support System because I wanted my name to be out there, but I also wanted to get incorporated. It's an LLC, but what I found in doing with a Holloway Support System is people don't know what you do. So, I mean, I've been doing that for the first maybe 10 years or so, and I got the generalization name as HSS support or HSS computer. So I took that one and I created that, which I'm doing both as HSS computer, Holloway support system. That way it's one company, but I can have it written either way. And I can do with the lessons, I can do this Holloway support system, and the computer repair, I can do HSS computer. And when I have HSS computer, people will more recognize, oh, this is a computer place. I still get the question asked, do you repair computers? But it could be just sales. So I understand that. Okay, they want to know if I do computers. Do I sell computers? Do I fix computers? Do I set up computers? You know, it's a question-based business. But at least with computer in the title, it's more understood that it has to do with computers. Yes, I did get the title. The title doesn't take too long. You can do it online. I think it's under $200 to get it done, an LLC or a incorporation, S-Corp or C-Corp. I'm starting to learn the difference between the two. I don't know the S-Corp and C-Corp exactly, but they're a little higher of a level in the corporation. Mm-hmm. And then once you have that, you can advertise with that instead of saying, hey, I'm John Holloway's computer service or John's computer service. And you can go with John's computer service as an LLC, as long as that's your business and people see that that's your business, it gets that respect.
So the name is something that plays a significant role when you're starting a business. Be conscious of the name, spend some time there, lest down the road you might find yourself making adjustments as you did. And if you do find that you need to make an adjustment, I'm hearing you say, don't hesitate to make the adjustment. Hey, I've got, like you said, you know, Holloway support systems. Okay, what does that mean? Is it for jet engines? Is it for, engineering? So you found that, I'm going to do an adjunct to that, and I'm going to go into computing in the title, but I'm not going to necessarily give up the other because I can use that for some of the other things that that I am doing. I'll put that under that umbrella. So you're learning as you're going along. You mentioned some things so far that we need to be aware of, you know, obstacles, things that you need to make adjustments for, financial potential hurdles, but nothing to be too concerned with. What would be one or two things, at least one thing that you would say is just a positive about having your own business? It's just no drawback. It's just one of the positive you can say about having your own business, especially for African American youth that might be listening, or anyone else that might be listening.
Well, I enjoyed bringing my children into the business to give an opportunity to them to learn about business and have a decision to either work with me or work their own, whatever they want to do. If they want to start a business on their own or if they want to just go into the work environment. I do like the, and I find it positive, be able to work as I can plan. The interesting thing about working for yourself is you're not really working for yourself. You still answer to people, but not in the same level as you answer to a boss. You still have to make your customers satisfied, and those are the people that you are working for. You have to answer to, and you want to make sure that you're taking care of them. And when they're satisfied, that's a positive thing for me. It's a great feeling to take care of what somebody's needs are. And they recommend you to friends and family. They kind of bring you into their family and their friends network by saying, hey, this is my guy that takes care of what I need as far as, in my case, is computers and computer setup or lessons. I think it's a nice thing to have, working for yourself. Even though it's a lot of hours, but you can schedule the hours around other things that are going on. Like if I have a doctor's appointment, I can work around the doctor's appointment. If I want to take some time off, I can take the day off early or the day off late and take care of what I want to take care of, or just kind of relax, enjoy being and do some business on the off hour, quote unquote off hour.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm hearing there, and I always like to give feedback for clarification for any question that I ask, you're saying one of the real benefits is the longevity of it. You own it, and you can bequeath that to anyone you want, especially a family member. So now the longevity of that business, the equity of that business belongs to you. All that sweat equity, it's like renting versus buying. It stays with you even after you move on, either through retirement or transitioning. You still know that it stays with you in one form, and that's through your family. That's huge, and that's something that other cultures inherently and innately do. And it's not so much. I believe it was, 100 years ago. I mean, I think we've regressed in so many ways as we try to assimilate, into society here. And I think that even as recently as 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, there was a different mindset in terms of having your own and having something to pass down. And then we began to assimilate and begin to want to get into corporate and work for someone and rise through the corporation. And then at the end of the day, you got a gold watch and it was all done, except for a pension and a retirement.
Yes.
But there was nothing to pass on. That was it.
Yes. Yes.
So what you bring to that, it's like having a farm. That stays in the family. How many folks do I know? I work with seniors. How many folks do I know that from time to time, tell me, and they're not necessarily pulling down a bunch of bucks. I mean, in fact, a lot of these folks are, by societal standards, considered low income. Yet, I find more and more and more and more that these folks got land in the South. They say, oh, yeah, Mr. Clark, I was just checking up and I had to make sure that my granddaughter took care of the taxes down on the property. I'm like, what? You got property? Yeah, we got a few acres down in North Carolina, and we just got it there. So that's important. And those are the kind of thinking that we, I believe, have to have more of. That's the difference between in the 60s, Ozzie and Harriet and Doris Day and all those shows, Leave It to Beaver and that. And I'm dating myself for many of my listeners, but for most, I think they understand. Those folks own property, even as recently as things like, Bewitched and that. You notice Darren, and they all had, they had something they were passing down to Tabitha, worked for someone, but. And so we need to, I believe, have that kind of a mindset. And a lot of that can come through having your own business. Because especially in society today, it's not like you can, you know, get your 25 years in and look forward to it and kind of once you work for a company, if it's a good company, you know you're pretty much going to be there for a while. Well, now with downsizing, right sizing, upward sizing, downward, you know, sideward sizing, it all changed. In the 80s, that all changed. It's no more. You get in the company and you figure out you're going to be there for 20 years. You know, there were some statistics that said, I think it was in the late 80s, that the average length of time that an individual is in a corporation has shifted from an average of 15 or 20 years to more like 8 or 9, just because of the nature of society now and the globalness of what's going on and the fact that the monsters are coming out of the closet. And I'm only saying that to say, you know, this global, what's happening globally and, you know, the large corporations buying out the smaller ones and the like. So it's important that you have your own, you have a constituency that you've established, and that we support one another. I think it really fares well beyond just having your own business, but it plays a role in a culture. And in this case, I'm speaking of African-American culture. I think those things are inherent significantly in our brothers and sisters in our Latino community, our Jewish community, even our Caribbean communities. And, of course, our white community, that's been a part of what they do. I mean, they've been, you know, and I say they, loosely speaking, on all of those cultures and races and subcultures. I'm speaking generally because, of course, in all of them, you know, they have situations where, you know, folks, you know, are not having a longevity mindset. But I think significantly that has existed in other cultures, creeds, races, subcultures. Now, the other thing that you mentioned I found interesting, you said that although you have to answer to people, you don't report to anyone. And that is something that you truly love. And I think folks could relate to that. In other words, I don't care what you're doing. If you're making money, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, an architect, an accountant, a carpenter or electrician, I don't know what it is, you're going to answer to somebody. Because if you're taking money, you got to get product. Somebody's supplying you with something.
Yeah.
However, you don't have to report to anyone. You don't have to go to that one person for whatever it is you need. You have options. And at the end of the day, you can say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with this today. I need a day break. And you don't have to worry about going to Massa or the boss and saying, you know, I just need a break. No, I have to ask someone. I'm taking off today.
I had that opportunity today. That opportunity today. Do I have to go? I mean, it would be nice to have made some extra money today, but the way the roads were, I said, you know what, tomorrow's another day. And so I called up and I said, hey, can we do this another time? By all means, we can do it another time. And I mean, that was the first time I really recognized that, you know what, I can really do this. I can wait till tomorrow until the weather's better to take care of what I need to take care of. And, you know, it'll still be there. And the customer will still be satisfied.
Yeah, that's a commitment. But to realize that, you know, you have that option, I would suspect that's so important. You know, in the minutes we have left, and I know I took a significant amount, and I see we have a question also. Would you be willing to take at least one question before we close out the interview?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay. So before we go to that, so listener, I see you have a question. We're going to come to you in just a moment. Before we close, two things. I want to ask generally, this will be general, because I'd like to come back to this if we can, maybe once a month, well, every 6 weeks, because I have a rotating list of guests that come on the program. But I'd like to revisit this regularly because there's so much in this area, not just from entrepreneurship. And I think entrepreneurship is crucial. We got to be thinking that now. We got to be looking out for ourselves, because these are tough times. I mentioned 11 million people are immigrating into this country. Not tomorrow, but over a period of time. You know, this administration is opening the borders. It's just the fact of the matter, regardless of how that affects us. Now, I've done my homework, and African Americans will be disproportionately affected by that. Now, that's a fact. And I ask our listeners, do your homework. Because, again, I have listeners that will call me and say, well, Daryl, you're saying things. I mean, how do we know that's true? Because you can look it up. You can Google it. And if you do look it up and you find out that it's not true, please, on the next program, regardless of what the topic or guest is, bring up, you know, Daryl, you mentioned something, and I looked, because if you can find counter to what I found, and then we can both go back and look at our sources, because it's important that we have valid information. That's all I'm about. Doesn't matter to me, you know, what the answer is. I just want it to be the truth. Now, what I'm seeing is African Americans will be disproportionately affected, because I've done my empirical research. African Americans have the lowest income, lower than Latinos, on average or median. And so these folks, that means we're working the most menial jobs. So these folks come in, these 11 million, will take those menial jobs, and also speaking the language of the land, which is Spanish. So there's a squeeze already on our children, because more and more, when you go to a Target or a Best Buy, both of which I'm not enthused with personally because of the way they're treating people who make political decisions, I think it's egregious where our society is heading. It's becoming a tyrannical society in that. I had to throw that in. So I'm not buying much from those two places. I wanted to throw that in. It's just wrong, in my opinion, to say, oh, you are following that political person. So if that's the case and I find out about it, maybe we don't want you working here. Well, maybe I won't shop there anyway, if that's the way you feel about children young men or young women or older men and older women who have a particular preference. But what I'm getting at is those folks will come in and significantly impact African Americans. So I just underscore that I'd like to come back to this topic of entrepreneurship, and my prayer and hope and belief is that this segment will spread prolifically nationally, and you know, it will impact, you know, our children and also adults to begin considering these things, because we have to step back and look at this big picture of what's getting ready to happen in our society. And mark the words, as sure as your taxes are going to go up, this is what is getting ready to happen. My oil has already gone up 30%. I went to order oil for my my house for the winter season about every 6 weeks. And from prior to election, it went up 30%. Who can afford a 30% inflation on everything that you buy? Well, this happened to be just for energy. But notice your gas prices. So these are things that we knew were coming. Again, an aside. But you were warned. And so I want to try to whatever I can do to help to counter this challenge that is coming, and I believe all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and called according to His purpose. That's my belief. But then again, you have to read the writing on the wall, and then you have to act on that, and that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm hoping that we can do this regularly, John, and talk about some of these things. For example, understanding the whole aspect of computing. And now I want to go to the guest question with this. And before we do that, with you.
Yes.
How important do you believe it is for society, especially in the African American community? This is African American History Month. Especially in the African American community, how important, without sounding biased because of your industry, how important is it that folks understand some aspect of computing, or at least consider trying to get a computer in their possession? Without trying to sound biased, being objective about this.
I do think it's important. As we have computers, laptops, tablets, and cell phones, the visually impaired, with the computers, you have options, you know, more options that you can use a computer. Some people, I say, feel more comfortable because it's something in a different area. You don't have it on you all the time. There's still a lot of people that like the flip phone or like to use a phone just for a phone. So as far as with the computer, I think it's important that they understand it, even if they do go to other devices, so that they will be able to manage computers to the ability where we are today. You know, you can sit at a computer and you can type up a letter, you can read your email, do your shopping, listen to music, watch events. And so I do think it's important for people to understand how to use a computer. And in the work environment, computers are a big thing, and I believe they will be for quite a while yet. And so getting to know the computer or understand the computer at that level also.
Helps. Okay. So it's an integral part of our society, in other words. I mean, it's not as though you really almost can exist without. Yes, sure, you probably can, but the way society is set up, it just makes it so much easier to function in society with a computer. I want to go to our guest. We have our listener calling in from a computer. I don't see a number here, so we're going to try to see if we can bridge the individual in here. Okay, so we have someone here. I'm not sure what state. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Ohio, this is your sister.
Oh, yes. Hi, how you doing, sis? How's everything out there?
Everything's fine.
Getting
fine.
A lot of snow?
No.
In the best location in the nation?
We have this thing called global warming that nobody's talking about, and I won't say another word about it. It's real.
Yeah.
We've got the weather that Texas wishes they had our weather. I feel incredible. It's like the weather has done a flip-flop.
Flip-flop,
and we're just kind of rolling with it. Sun is shining 2-3 days out of the week. I think the most snow we've had in any given day is 4 or 5 inches. Paid our guy for the first time. I won't do this again. to do plowing for the season. He's plowed three times. Well, you know, this is life. And, you know, I've known this. It's not like we weren't told. It's real. And we just have to go with it. So that's what we've been doing, going with it. It's all good. I'm happy to meet your acquaintance talking about
John Holloway.
Yes. Talking about computers and entrepreneurship. You know, that's a subject dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I have been an entrepreneur, and I trained and taught entrepreneurship for about 6 years. More than that, because I did it once I started the computer training that I did in my nonprofit. But so the subjects that you know you were prepared to talk about tonight were really exciting to
near
me.
Near and dear
to my heart. Entrepreneurship, entrepreneurs. One of the things that's different about us is that we're willing to take the risk. That's the biggest difference to me. And I had to live. I can speak to it with everything in me. I can fact, you know, write about it. But yeah, willing to take the risk. And we see things other folks don't see, and we're trained, and we know. We're looking down the road when everybody else is looking right in front of them. We got to look down the road. We have to know what's going on.
Yes.
So, now, as it relates to your expertise, computers, I am having a devil of a time with my computer. Everything is Zoom now, and, of course, I'm on my Zoom 3 or 4 times a week. And my microphone doesn't work. Webcam works fine. I had to get an external earpiece, which I don't like at all. So what happens...
Okay.
When you know what happens when you're it's not the speaker but the microphone goes out.
Okay, the microphone. Now, is this a desktop or a laptop?
A laptop.
Laptop. Okay, so the microphone could be the settings on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be the settings on the microphone. One thing you could do is you could test it. If you have Google set up on your computer.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, Zoom allows you to do a test before you log in anyway. And
okay.
It shows that it's not working.
It shows that it's not working. Because
mm-hmm.
if you try, you can, when you're doing a search on Google, you can activate the microphone and see if it works that way. Sometimes it could be the program that it has to be reset. So that's one way of testing it. Another way of testing it is a sound recorder in the computer. If you go to the sound recording, it's called recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can try it through there to see if it's working.
Okay.
If you go into the settings itself on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, so if you click on the, if you left click on the speaker, you'll be able to go into the sound settings.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I see you obviously do this kind of thing. You know about these things.
Yes.
So, you tell me, is this something that I can talk to you about offline?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to ask John, because we're about to close out in the next 5 minutes. I'm going to ask John to share his information. And so you'll have an opportunity along with everyone else to get his information and then you all, you know, connect, and I'm sure he'll help you through it. He's helped me through more things than I even want to share that I've run into, and some things were, you know, you know, simple things I just never thought about. And then some things there's just, you know, you needed an expert like John to help me with. So it's important that, you know, we're able to, you know, go to those like ourselves and get expert advice. And there's no reason for any of us to you know, not be able to navigate through that now common tool. It's just as common in our households now as you know, the television, and so, you know, we have someone like a John, and of course there are numerous entrepreneurs, even African American, but we have John right now. So listeners, we're going to share his information in just a moment. And with that, if I may, Iris, I would like to say, I don't know how long you've been listening, but we're going to regularly be doing an entrepreneurial piece. So mm-hmm. I'm going to reach back to you, because I would love if you would join that with the many years, you know, decades that you've been in business and what mm-hmm. you can bring to that panel with John to help encourage folks in our community. And I think you may have heard that piece, what I said about the influx of what's, you know, obviously already started to happen of immigrants.
Oh, that
is going
happening.
To affect.
Happening for decades. I can speak on that, too. I'll never
forget.
Yeah, it
has been.
I went to an interview for a job at some headhunter, and I am not, I could care less about anybody's color, race, size, anyway. I was interviewed for a job by a woman who could barely speak English. It just kind of did something to me. And it made me more determined than ever to excel at whatever it was I did, whether it was when I went back to college, whether it was when I started the first business, the second business, or the nonprofit that I did. It made me know this is up to me. I can't count on the system, the government, or anybody else to protect me or my children.
Yep.
We can talk about you on the panel for sure.
Yep, that's going to be so very important that we understand that we can't go into this blindly. Because if we do, we'll turn around and we'll just basically, and I say we as a culture of people, we have our own systemic issues as a culture, like every culture does, whether it's the African-American culture, white, even our Caribbean, I mean the subcultures, our Asian, everyone have their issues, but ours is deep-rooted, and we need to address it head-on if we're going to, as a group. And I'm not trying to be divisive, but we do exist as subgroups of our society, and that's the other thing I sometimes get concerned with, not to segue off the topic of tonight, that, you know, folks want to say, oh, no, everyone's the same. Yeah, we are all the same. We all bleed, and we all breathe air. But there are cultures. There is something. And I think there's a value to the different cultures. Variety, has been said, is the spice of life. And I don't believe that if for any given reason that any given culture wants to sacrifice their culture for any reason whatsoever. And that's not to say that I think that you shouldn't intermarry or anything like that. If you should maintain your culture at least, with, and that person whom you decided, if it is outside your culture, to engage with needs to accept and appreciate yours as you should appreciate theirs. But I don't believe any one culture should ever sacrifice because there's value in it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, thank you for sharing, and I will be definitely, you know, I'll be reaching out because I want you to participate in this. I just think it's going to be an important discourse in the months ahead, especially now, and I think it's going to be a good thing. It's something that is needed to happen.
Good.
And I'm hoping that that it germinates exponentially. So thank you again, and we'll be definitely touching base with you. So on that note, John, if I may, coming back to you. A couple things, we have about 5 minutes, if that. A couple things that folks want to be aware of. One, as you heard from the listener there in Ohio, You know, she's struggling with just, you know, little tidbits of things. I know you had mentioned, and you have mentioned to me over the years, you know, one of the things that you think people need to be aware of is are viruses and scams and things like that. And I'd like to do a whole program on that in the future. What, if it is viruses, but what thing would you say people need to be most aware of in terms of computing right now? Is it knowing how to operate, of course, knowing how to navigate the web, having an email? Is it being aware of viruses? What one or two things would you say that folks should be aware of?
Viruses are definitely the top concern. But other than viruses would be the scams, and they come in many forms. The scams come in as the phone call. We see you have something on your computer, and it can cause all kind of catastrophe and whatnot, or it could come on your, and then people get tricked into allowing them to remote into the computer to eventually make things worse. And the other thing is when something pops up on your screen or you receive an email, if something pops up on your screen and says that you have a virus, call this number, the important thing to do is to shut the computer off and call a friend, a police officer, a relative, or if you have a tech guy, call them and say, hey, this is popping up on my computer, what should I do, before responding to or calling the number. That's one of the things I'm going to start attempting to do is I want to try to post on my sites little tech tips, there shouldn't be anybody remoting into your computer who is not somebody who you already set up an appointment with. And if somebody contacts you, you want to hang up and say, okay, I'll call you back, and then call the number that you know is supposed to be the right number and say, hey, do you guys call me? Stuff like that. Because you can get a call from PSCNG, you can get a call from an antivirus program, or you can go get a call from your cable company. And generally, they don't call you unless there's a real issue. And they'll cut you off before they call you. So then, you know, that would be a problem.
Mm. Okay. Well, we're running out of time. So with that, John, do you have a website you want to share with the listeners and a phone number that they can reach out? Because the one thing that I'm sure you do is you do remote assist, correct?
Yes.
Beautiful.
So the website is hsscomputer.com. The phone number is 908-541-0528. And that does ring also to my cell phone, so if I don't get it in the office, I will get it. If I'm not in the office and the office is closed and it's an emergency, I will get it at my cell phone.
Okay. Would you repeat that one more time, please?
At 908-541-0528.
Okay. And the website?
HSScomputer.com.
Very good. We appreciate you, John. Let's touch base in the next day. I'll reach out to you, and so we can set up a schedule, and listeners can know, you know, oh, it's this must be the 6 week. You know, John's going to be on. He's going to be talking about computing, and I know I've got this thing I've been having an issue with, or you know, want to find out more about engaging in a small business and the like. So,
yes.
Again, We thank you to our listeners. We thank you for tuning in. I hope you'll tune in next week. We'll have another special program as we close out our Black History Month programming, although every month is Black History Month on Productive News Weekly. I want to thank the caller. Thank you, Iris, for calling in. If anyone who is listening, whether you're in the archives or live, you know you can always drop me an email at daryl_cla18@msn.com. And we'd love to hear, you know, what you're thinking about the program. Don't get caught up in the fray. There's so much going on right now, folks, so much. We'll be talking more and more about it in the future, but society isn't what it was 20 years ago. I dare say not even 10 years ago. This is a different animal that we're living in right now, which is why our opening bumper tune was Donald Byrd's own Stepping Into Tomorrow. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to put our head in the sand with everything happening, some or a significant amount of which is not necessarily even designed in our best interest. But step up, shoulders back, head up, move forward. We have everything we need to cope and to engage and to succeed productively. We just need to stick together and support one another and be aware and be educated. So again, thank you so much, John, for taking the time out this evening. Thank you for your patience and your knowledge and being there for with us, being here.
You're welcome.
For and with us. So we're going to close out again. All I would ask folks is tell someone about Progressive News Weekly. Do your homework. If you heard anything on here that you're questioning, check it out yourself. Don't believe me. I'm just one that looks at things and then analyzes, investigates, and makes determinations based on the information that I find. I certainly don't claim to know everything. I just claim to not let anything get by me that's questionable if I can avoid it without looking into it. A day makes a big difference. And we'll close on that. What a difference a day can make, folks. Tell someone around you that you care about, that you love them. You don't know what the next day or moment may hold. God bless. Peace and blessings until next week.
Okay,
take
thank
care.
You.
Thank you, John. Much appreciated.
What a difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers, where there used to be rain. My yesterday was blue, dear. Today I'm a part of you, dear. My lonely nights are through, dear.